This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna, and you're listening to another episode of Signal 337. So let's go back to 2010. I was just moving back to central Pennsylvania after living in Philadelphia for 4 years, and I was looking to make my next steps to grow as a professional designer. I was a little weary because moving back to central PA in some ways felt like a step backwards. I had left central PA 4 years prior to pursue my career as a designer and pursue my academic pursuits, and I was very successful. And I was at this inflection point thinking about where do I want to take my career, what opportunities are going to present themselves, and in a way I boiled it all down to a numbers game, was that there's probably a lot more opportunity for me back in central PA to make my mark and grow because the competition is not as dense as it is in Philly. In my mind, I was rationalizing that there is so many art and design schools in Philadelphia. There's so many designer graduates coming out every year with X amount of agencies and companies that are hiring designers, and I weighed that against the same kind of thought process of moving back to central PA, and I thought, okay, there's an opportunity for me to move back home. And I had a few professors and a few individuals think that I was crazy as fuck for doing that, but I made it work. And the reason why I made it work was that I made some really great connections. Being a young designer and trying to figure out my path in the industry, my career that I wanted to make, I made some really great relationships with folks that I still value to this day and are still instrumental for me in my career. And one of those was with my great friend, my best friend actually, Jadrian. Jadrian was the editor-in-chief and principal photographer at Harrisburg Magazine. Harrisburg Magazine is a small city regional magazine that was part of Benchmark Group Media that had a number of other publications that they produced in-house. And I was working with them for a little bit while I was getting my feet wet coming back to the area. And I remember getting to meet with Jadrian and learning about his side of the world, the copy side, the narrative side, the journalism side, the written communication. And we got along famously. I think the first day that we met, he looked at me like, who the hell hired Bigfoot? Because I'm 6'8", very tall, and I pretty much tower over everybody. But through our mutual love of Led Zeppelin and music and practical jokes, we ended up becoming very fast friends. And I really wanted to learn from him a great deal because his world of written communication, I don't want to say fascinated me, but I was not a confident writer myself. I got lost when I would write anything, really. I just had way too much ideas swirling in my head, and to try to create a cohesive narrative out of all of that into something that people can actually read, understand, and utilize, that was tough for me. And Jadrian was actually very instrumental in helping me organize my thoughts, thinking about frameworks and just ways of writing and understanding your audience. And in a way, it wasn't too dissimilar from understanding your audience and writing for clarity, like designing for everything. It was just another avenue of design. At that point in time, I was very focused on visual communication and creating objective designs that pushed people to create a decision. They were going to make a decision or push them into a certain behavior. And I, at that point in time, I actually discounted the power of the written word. I thought it was supplement to these things, and shit, I was wrong. The written word is so incredibly important, so incredibly powerful. Wars have been fought over writing. It's just such an intrinsic part of our lives, of our culture, of our society, as a species. Getting to learn about writing from Jadrian was incredibly helpful, and I started to think along the lines of how I can improve my writing, how I can improve my written communication that will make me a much more effective designer. Because beyond just writing and using copy in my designs and in my products, it was incredibly important that I wrote for clarity and wrote for intent when I was communicating ideas to other stakeholders. When I would write something for the general population to basically consume, you know, there was a certain way I had to write that and form my narrative in a way that people could understand. That's very different from writing something that you need stakeholders to buy into or to receive funding or to communicate a strategy. So he really helped me understand about identifying your audience and writing for that audience. And that's what I really want to talk about, is the value that improving your written communication as a designer is going to have such an indelible effect on your career that it's going to open up more opportunities for you to grow, whether you are an individual contributor or if you're looking to move into management. Having a solid foundation in good written communication is going to be vastly helpful to your career. I have somewhat of a listicle type of episode that I want to go through. That these are some things that I've learned and things that I have found online that I feel that this would give us great starting point for anyone who's looking to improve their written communication. I think the first thing that you really need to understand about writing is understanding who the audience is. And this is not dissimilar at all from the traditional user experience process where you have to identify who the audience is and empathize with them so that you can understand where they're coming from as you build better products. So with writing, you have to understand your audience. Who is going to consume this? Why would they consume this? What is their motivations? What their goal? What are you trying to convey to them? So understanding your audience is vitally important. So that gives you the canvas framework to work with them. So that way, you can then start to build upon that. And understanding that your audience needs and their motivations and their desires are going to help shape how you're going to write whatever it is that you're going to write. Say it is a news story. Say it is a blog post. Say it is a review. Whatever that you're writing, you're going to have to understand who is going to be consuming it, why they're going to be consuming it, and how their thoughts and experiences are going to play into translating and interpreting what you've written. That's the first thing. Understand your audience. The second thing is simplicity. I cannot stress enough that simplicity is key. I remember Jadrian telling me something along the lines of, like, I neither have the time nor the crayons to explain it to you. This is talking to an individual who was just overly thinking about things and just didn't understand things. And really written, well-constructed stories, narratives, reviews, whatever the outcome, the product is, it takes a lot of thought, consideration, and editing to distill it down to a simple, distilled, eloquent outcome. It's hard making things simple. It really is, because you can lose the nuance, you can lose the complexity, you can add all of that in, and there's so many facets to what you're writing that it can be very difficult to really distill it down and, you know, really deliver the essence, the message, in a way that's easily understood, recognized, and internalized. It's much easier to write too much than it is to really edit it down. So simplicity is absolutely an imperative that as you're writing, you want to be able to self-edit and have other people review it, edit it with you. Ideally, have someone who is good at editing, a professional editor. Another thing that you want to avoid in your writing is using jargon, very industry-specific language, and acronyms, and assuming that everyone understands your acronyms. When you're using industry speech and acronyms that are very highly specific, it can be very tough to communicate value and the comprehension of those. So really, ideally, stay away from those. You see this a lot in government work, actually. You see this a lot with really poorly constructed government websites and processes. They'll use a lot of industry speech and acronyms, and they assume that the end user would actually know what those things are. And that's where you get into these issues of like how difficult government services can be. Luckily, Plain Language Act has really helped to cut through that bullshit and is helping government content creators to think about the end user, ensure that what they are putting out there and what they're writing is accessible and understood by people. Not people internally to the government, but looking at people, common folk, citizenry. Jargon is tough because in our world as designers, we use a lot of jargon. We use a lot of speech that we understand in our profession. And then when you are in another conversation or are reading materials from another discipline, it can be very difficult to understand. Now, this is where you get into knowing your audience and writing and tailoring that for them. So if you are a physician and you're going to be talking about health benefits of exercise, you don't want to be using language that only other physicians really understand or that is very hard for other people to understand when you're using it in a way that doesn't make sense to them. So simplicity and cutting out the jargon in the industry speech goes a long way to creating comprehension. You also have to understand what is appropriate types of writing for your audience. Abbreviations, I absolutely hate emoticons. The different styles and, you know, formats for writing. You don't want to write a piece that is more for internal type of use and understanding and then publicize that. You might write more informally, internally. If you're creating a blog for your internal employees, you might be a little bit more lax and less formal in that regard because there's an understanding of how the company works and that goes into the culture of the place, and you may not need to be so formal with that. However, if you're creating a white paper or a case study for other individuals outside of your organization to consume and really consider, we should go with these folks, that's going to have a different format and having a different approach to that writing style. So you want to make sure that you're really thinking about your audience again and what kind of format, what kind of correspondence and level of communication do you really need to have with those different audience members. This is one that I really struggle with, and I really like the way that this is worded, which is don't use a $10 word when a $1 word will suffice. We have this propensity to use very flowery, fancy language when you don't need to. Now, I just said to use propensity. That's a $10 word. We tend to use more fancy words than we really need to. That's really what I was trying to say. So, example here. When you say ascertain, you really mean find out. When you say purchase, you mean buy. You say reside, you mean live. When you say endeavor, you mean try. Again, this all is cyclical and goes back to simplicity. And why do we use these $10 words? Sometimes when we are writing for a more formal correspondence, and something that's going to be consumed by general population, we want to sound like we know what the fuck we're talking about, and we want to sound like we're educated, we know what's up. We're going to use these more flowery words in our language. We're going to pepper them in a bit more because it's going to make us sound educated. People are going to think of us more highly. But what are you really trying to do? Are you trying to impress or are you trying to communicate? It's much easier and it's much more understandable when you use plain language than trying to use certain flowery terms. Now, depending, again, on the type of audience and who you're working with, there's going to be times where you're going to need to use certain words. And in certain types of documents, you want to make sure that you're using the correct words so that you do not make the meaning ambiguous. So when you're looking at legal documents or you're looking at health record information, there's going to be certain words in there that are absolutely necessary to make sure that the right intent is being communicated. However, when you are looking at creating a communication so that people can understand and not have to worry about what are they trying to mean, what does this word mean, it's easier and more desirable to use words that general people understand and can utilize and comprehend. So don't use a $10 word when a $1 word will suffice. One of the biggest things that I even struggle with that makes it really difficult with writing is just really think about your communication. Read, reread, think about what is your intent? What is your goals? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to communicate a certain idea? Are you trying to communicate a process for people to understand and then utilize? Are you trying to tell a good story? Are you trying to factually relate a scenario to somebody? Or are you creating a case study for someone to understand the work that you did? Are you trying to create an agreement between two different parties to understand who's going to do what and what they're liable for? You really need to think about your goals, who your audience is, and what you hope that this written communication will do and create for you. So thinking about what you're trying to accomplish, think about it, write, review, edit, write, review, edit, think. If you can continuously do that, that way you are self-editing and making it more clear. And then if you think about, this is not too dissimilar from the critique process that we have with design. This is very similar to creating a first draft and having it reviewed by designers and finding the areas that work really well and the areas and opportunities that can be improved. So this is not dissimilar from that same process, is to get your work reviewed by different folks, editors, but really think about for yourself. Be very self-reflective about the work that you're trying to create. Also, if you are creating a piece or writing something that you want to have a clear intent, that you want your audience to take away from, you want to make sure that you want to let them know what you want them to do. So if you are creating some sort of written piece, such as an advertisement, or creating some sort of instructional design of teaching someone how to do X, Y, and Z, you really want to write this in a way so that it drives action, so that you inform the reader, hey, you need to do this X, Y, and Z to get A, B, and C. So you really want to write with intent and make sure that you're not being vague in your direction for things. Also, don't write too much. I struggle with this a lot too. And if you've listened to any of my past episodes, you will know that I'll probably say the same thing five times, five different ways. But this is all goes back to simplicity, focusing on the message, not being redundant. You don't have to write too much. If you are trying to communicate an idea clearly and succinctly, you don't have to write a novel. You don't have to go into the entire history or give all the sort of background. Just focus in on the message that you're trying to convey. And with that, you can get a lot more clarity, comprehension, and action instead of bogging the reader down with more extraneous information that they don't need. Formatting. Formatting is your friend. I like to write as a big brain dump. I like to write a whole bunch of stuff, just like free association, free thinking, and then I like to go back and really edit out things and then format everything in a way that's very digestible. And when you're writing in this kind of a format, it can be a little bit of work to go back and forth. But however, if you're using good formatting, you can also succinctly edit things down and communicate that clarity. And if you've done any sort of editorial design work in the past, you will understand the power of formatting, such as using lists, using block quotes, constructing your paragraph lengths, and using good spacing so that you can keep the reader engaged without them getting tired and feeling overwhelmed. Formatting is the visual side of the written communication that can help your reader stay engaged. And this is where I really started to understand the value of written communication in with my visual design work. I just was assuming a lot of things, but when I start to understand and see really poorly formatted articles and stories, like, I just wasn't interested. But then when I started seeing really well formatted articles and stories, you can actually start to be really more engaged and pick up more of this. So formatting is your friend. Lastly, this was something that was completely new to me, was the inverted pyramid. It's a technique used by journalists that means you put your most important information first. And when you look at a news article online, you'll see your headline, you usually see like a little synopsis of what everything you're going to read. Here's the actual meat of everything. And then you go into the actual article that goes into more detail. And that's really helpful. That is a technique that journalists use a lot of times to convey the most important information up front so that you don't have to dig for it. I wish recipe makers would actually do this, and recipes online are notorious for doing this. I liked looking at these bloggers that, like, here's my mom's, you know, recipe for chocolate chunk cookies. Oh, cool. I like cookies. I want to read this. But I got to read about a 10-page essay about living in Montana and how much their mom meant to them and how much they went through their own self-discovery as a teenager. And I'm like, fuck, I just want the cookie recipe. That is something that, when you are writing for clarity, if you're writing that kind of like your findings from a usability study, or if you're creating an advertisement that is going to help individuals find value in your service, don't beat around the bush. Just use the inverted pyramid framework to be able to write a very successful case study, write a very successful narrative, communication internally, to be able to communicate the findings of a usability study or communicate the outcomes of a test. If you use the inverted pyramid as a way to communicate the most important information up front and then allow the reader to go into more depth and basically create opportunities for more them to go into more detail, that is a much better experience for readers than trying to hit them with all that up front before they get to the information that's really helpful for them. And this is very much in the same vein of user experience work, is that we want to help someone complete their task, whether it is signing up for a new account or being able to make a purchase or be able to do a certain thing in a tool. Like, we want to make sure that it's easy for them to understand, to do the thing that they need to do, to communicate what they need to do and know and understand. And this is very much in the same vein of thinking. I give you this listicle type episode that can improve your written communication. You're probably thinking, this is great. I don't like to write. That's fine. You don't have to become a writer. You don't have to use all these things. But as you have these things in the back of your mind, they are going to help you when you do have to write that occasional email, that occasional case study, that occasional communication between groups that you're working with. Think about when you are writing Slack messages, usually super informal, and they're more like a conversation. But sometimes you got to write a big Slack message. You don't want to overwhelm them. You want to use some good formatting, and you want to basically deliver the message clear and concise. So using some of these items that we've discussed so far will even help just writing messages asynchronously or synchronously. If you are going to write a case study or update your portfolio with some of the work that you've done, all of these are very helpful in that regard. All of these techniques are helpful to draw upon when you are writing. And if you're working in a product organization and you want to be able to report on the progress of either some research or talking with users, and you can use these techniques to communicate to other teams and other stakeholders the value of the work done so far that is going to be able to create buy-in and create clarity so that you're not having to go back and forth about who did what. I don't understand this. So think about these techniques in your career and where they could be helpful when you are communicating with others. I really want to thank Jadrian because 12 years now of this work has been so vitally important to me as a designer, and it still is vitally important for me in my career, that I want to share what he's taught me to you so that you can be successful in your work. So with all of that, I really want to thank you for delving down this rabbit hole with me about written communication. I feel it's something that, regardless of our role, if we're designers, project managers, anything, engineers, good written communication techniques and understanding how to write for clarity is a valuable skill no matter what your discipline. And with all of that, I appreciate it. Everything that I share and I talk about is from my own perspectives and observations, and they're not indicative of any past or present companies I've worked for. Please hit us up on Twitter. We are at Signal337 on Twitter, and you can also join the conversation on LinkedIn. You can find us at 337 on LinkedIn as well. You can also hit me up at Azrael Group, Azrael Group. That's my own personal Twitter. And you can find my bald mug on LinkedIn as well, Signal337. And I are pretty much the same, but we have multiple channels for you to hit us up on. And I'd love to hear your stories about how improving your writing and your written communication has helped you in your career, regardless if you're a designer or not. I'd love to hear your stories and we can have a conversation about that. So with all of that, thank you so very much and have a great day.